You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is provided for general information only and assumes a certain level of knowledge of financial markets. It is not an invitation to make an investment and should not be construed as advice. The views in this podcast are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily reflect those of 91. The value of investments can fall as well as rise, and losses may be made. In South Africa, 91 is an authorized financial services provider. With me today is Chris Freund, who's a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. And Chris, you have been in the business for how long? The asset management business for how long? Bare your soul here, if you would.
Lindsay, I don't know. It's about 25 years or so.
Okay, so let's call it a quarter of a century. Have you ever seen anything like the last 7-8 months in your 25-year history of being in the money management business? Ever?
Oh, yeah. No, we've seen plenty of these pandemics over time. So I could kick myself, Lindsay, because we've sort of seen variations of this, is why some of us made, like me, made a big mistake. Because we did see, remember, SARS and bird flu and one other, I can't remember, you know, over the last 20 odd years.
Yes.
And every time that happened, it would have been the thing to do, to sell all your clients' cash and sit and shares and sit in cash. So we drew false comfort from that previous time. There was about 4 or 5 working days when this thing escaped from China, when you could have done something about it, and we chose not to. But then the fall was so fast that even if you'd wanted to do something after that, you couldn't have really chased a market falling as hard as fast as it was. And then, as you know, the market just turned on its tail and recovered all the way. So now everyone's scratching their head and wondering, why is there this great disconnect between Main Street and Wall Street?
Yeah. And what is the reason? And actually, we know what the reason is, but we'll get to that later on. But how have you adjusted your stance towards markets over the last 6, 7, 8 months? Or have you just kept your underlying principles in place? In other words, have you said to yourself, well, this changes everything and therefore we've got to tweak the way we look at markets? Or have you just said, this is just another blip on the chart?
Now, you can't sort of change your philosophy mid-stride. Then you're going to get very confused if you sort of start to waver in what you actually believe in. So, no, not on that front. We still believe in the same things. However, what we tried to do initially was take a strong look at our portfolio and see if we had any companies in there that had a better than even chance of going bust, of not coming up the other side. Or needing a rights issue to shore up their balance sheet, and which companies we were going to support when we thought they were going to come and ask us for more money, and which ones we weren't.
And did you find any of these companies? Sorry to interrupt you. Did you find companies that you thought actually might not come out the other side, as you quite eloquently put it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so far that hasn't been the case. But we sold one or two companies, saying, "Look, this environment could get unbelievably tough for them for." However long, we don't know, and this one we don't want to support when they come and ask us for money. So, yeah, we did make some adjustments. We did sell some shares after they'd fallen, and the other ones we said, these guys are going to come, and most of them have come for sort of rights issues or placements or something like that. So we had to do that. You don't want to wallpaper with your clients' share certificates. It doesn't go down well. So we just had to take out that risk. And then subsequent to that, we've added gold in a reasonably big way. You know, we had a view on the dollar going weaker, but so did everybody. Right? It reminds me of, you know, when everyone says, if everyone's believing the same thing, the proverbial consensus, it must be wrong.
Yes.
Well, it's not always wrong, because in this, there were an unbelievable number of dollar bears 3 months ago. Therefore, you should by definition be a gold bull. And they were right. And so we actually did make some money back for our clients with that sort of trade.
Okay, so what you've just said over the last minute or so is that you have adjusted your portfolio construction because of an event that was unheard of in January. I mean, if you'd have said coronavirus, you would have said, yes, there is a coronavirus, but no one would have predicted COVID-19 being so impactful. Mm. So what you have done is you've been flexible and nimble enough to adjust your strategy. Not so much your strategy, but you've certainly adjusted your portfolios because of what you've been subjected to. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. But we haven't changed the way we think about markets, put it that way.
This
is like getting on to your next point you were talking about. The market's almost taking the view that this is like one massive natural disaster which will work its way through the system rather than, which is serious, but not as serious as a sort of financial system that has got deep-seated structural imbalances that need time to be worked out. Like 2008, you had a sort of a property credit complete imbalance around the world where the banks had got mad for 10 years before that, and the banks were all incredibly bad shape. And that was going to need time to sort itself out. This is not the situation, you know. So the market is a forward-looking discounting machine. It doesn't react to, you know, what's happening today. It reacts to what it thinks is going to happen tomorrow. And what it thinks is going to happen tomorrow is that growth is going to recover. We've already seen this sort of V from deep freeze from a whole lot of data that's recovered. Now the question is, what's the sort of elevation? What's the rate of growth of the recovery from this point? Is it slow? Is it rapid? Is it sort of spiky recovery as we get second waves? And that's that, together with the monster amount of, you know, liquidity and capital has been thrown in by central banks and fiscal help from all the treasuries around the world, has meant that the market has recovered and should stay that way.
Yeah, it really should. There are three trends that I want to talk to you about now. The first trend, obviously, is the coronavirus, COVID-19, and what it's done to us as individuals and also to the socioeconomic trends and market trends and so forth. And it's well documented. We don't need to talk about that. But the really big one for me is the weakness in the US dollar. And if I look at the euro dollar, I don't look so much at the Dixie, the so-called Dixie, which is the dollar index. I look at the euro dollar, and it's gone from 106 to 120. These are broad strokes, of course. What impact will that have? Because when I see a currency trend, I see a currency trend that is going to carry on not for a couple of months, but for a couple of years. You tend to find these currency trends really become entrenched, and away they go. And I can see that the euro dollar is going to go back to 140, 150 in the next 5 years. What does that mean for you?
Yeah, from your lips to God's ears, all I can say, because, I mean, first of all, the move already has been big. I mean, we in South Africa are just numb. We're just immune to big currency moves because we've got, you know, the most volatile currency in the world, and we sort of punch drunk. But the Americans are not used to this amount of, if you've got a first world developed market currency, this has been a big move already, okay? But following your thesis that it will continue to go weaker, it is wonderful news for everybody almost, because it takes the pressure off everyone outside the U.S., and let's just talk about emerging markets for a while, of which we're just one. It takes the pressure off us. You know, it means that our currency's got a bias towards strengthening the other side of the weaker dollar, and hence we don't need to put up interest rates. Our reserve banks and monetary policy can take a slightly more growth-friendly orientation, and generally world markets do well in a weak dollar scenario. Commodity prices go up. The dollar price of commodities go up because of the weak dollar. Most emerging markets are commodity exporters of some sort. That's very friendly. You get current account surpluses that are helped by that, or reduced deficits, etc. So if you are right that we can look forward to more dollar weakness, well, that's happy day for your equity portfolio.
Particularly emerging market equity portfolios.
Correct.
Good. And South Africa, of course, is going to benefit from that. What about South Africa, though? You have to, I mean, apart from looking at a euro dollar that in my fantasy world is going to 140, 150 in the next 4 to 5 years, and therefore the rand's going to come back to 14 and a half, 15, something like that. Mm-hmm. Again, another fantasy world. What is your attitude towards the South African stocks, I mean, domestic stocks that aren't reliant upon earnings outside of our borders?
Okay, so I've got a view that's hated by most people I speak to.
Okay, go on.
In the sense that I actually think the SA Inc. shares, the sort of the banks and the retailers and the property shares, are the most attractive buy I've seen for many years. Okay, so I think you should just be loading up with the whole portfolio of all the stuff that people hate right now. But there is one big but or proviso, and that is the – first of all, I think that the external global environment is going to be friendly for the growth around the world for a couple of years, and that, of course, growth is going to take a while to get back to pre-COVID levels, but it should continue to grow for a year or two. So that's good. The big proviso is – is World Treasury be able to hold the line in October and February in their budgets, the mini budget and the main budget? Because it's so sad that a mere 3 years after this country faced its last major fork in the road, you know, to hell and damnation, or to sort of just generally slip backwards, you know, just to tiptoe backwards from the cliff, in December 2017 at the ANC elective conference. It was bloody close, but we sort of edged back from the cliff. Yes. And unfortunately, we're approaching the cliff again 3 years later, this time not in such a dramatic sort of event risk fashion, but we have definitely got to the stage in this country where if we don't start doing the right things from a policy perspective, from a growth perspective, we are close to getting into a sort of a debt trap where it's just too much of the government's money goes towards paying its interest and capital obligations, and you can't get out of it. And then you get into a downward spiral that you end up like Argentina, where you have to have a debt standstill and things like that. Okay, and then your currency goes to hell in a handbasket, and you sure as hell don't want all those SA Inks that I was mentioning. But I still live in a hope, because I had a happy childhood and a born optimist, that we will actually – there are enough signs that we will start to do the right thing from a policy and growth perspective. History is not on my side. I'm aware of that. Whenever I say this, people say, well, I mean, you don't really have a lot of historical evidence to back you up, Chris. I said, no, you're right. But from what my reading of the tea leaves is that everyone's worked out that we've got a massive growth problem in this country, and that we will slowly start to do the right thing, and we will get away with it. We will get away with the fiscal issue without going over the edge.
But we've said this so many times, Chris. That's the problem. I know your happy childhood has engendered you with optimism, but unfortunately, your family background isn't a great foundation for portfolio construction. I mean, come on now. I know you've been recently married, and you're full of the joys of spring. But on the other hand,
yes. No,
more seriously, we've been saying this for so many years, and the banks. Yes, of course, the banks are so cheap. I mean, we've never seen these PEs before. I mean, it's unbelievable. But there's no point in having a PE that is down at 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever
but
the number
what?
Is
that's,
when the
that's
economy
the
on which it's based is completely dead, which it is.
But you see, that's the opportunity. It's so many people like you, it's precisely people like you,
like me,
that have been, you know, like you, that have been scarred and ruined because you've just been disappointed for so many years. You know, you've had your hope dashed for so many years. You can't even think about a possible positive outcome anymore. You've been so scarred, and that actually is the opportunity here.
There are two Lindsay Williamses, by the way. Number one, the broadcaster. Number one, the person. And the broadcaster wants a little bit of action, and the person wants a little bit of action to the upside. So don't think that I'm a perma bear. Tell me about politics, Chris, because politics
you're always
is
after action.
politics is coming up in the next 60 days or so in the United States. Very seriously, do you have a look at this, you and your team, when you sit down, do you say to yourself, well, if Trump is going to get another 4 years or if Biden's going to get his 4 years, what do we do about this? Is this a factor in your equation?
So I personally don't think whoever wins is going to be particularly important beyond the sort of market gyrations in that week or 2 weeks. I think, you know, this whole anti-China theory is obviously a bipartisan thing, okay? So that's not going to change. It might be slightly more rational if the Democrats, if Biden wins, they might not sort of, you know, do foreign policy by tweeting. But that's not going to change. That's with us forever. For a long time. So I have heard stories that if you get a sort of a hung parliament in the sense that, you know, you have the Democrat president, but the Republicans still keep the Senate, the Democrats still keep the House, that'll be a very good outcome. Because, you know, that can't do too much damage. On the other hand, I've heard if there's a clean sweep by the Democrats across the two houses and the president, well, there's quite a lot of left-leaning people in the Democrats, the Elizabeth Warrens, the Bernie Sanders, etc., and that they will make some sort of business-unfriendly tax moves, which the market won't like.
Yes.
But I'm not convinced that the markets, that's going to be that big a deal this year for equity markets. I'm a little worried about politics, about Brexit at the end of this year. I know it's gone off the radar, but I don't think they've got any chance of stitching together a sort of a comprehensive trade deal. There may be a few sectoral sub-deals that are done, but broadly, the UK is going to bundle out on the 1st of January quite soon and have to revert to World Trade Organization tariff structures, which is going to be very bad for some sectors, if that is the case, unless they can organize that. So that's worrying me a little bit. In the US, I'm not too stressed about that.
I just received an email that says the following. Betfair, which is a UK betting company, says the following. Betfair Exchange says biggest bets of the campaign so far were placed on Trump over the weekend, and some really, really big bets as well. I don't want to bore you with the numbers, but there's been some really huge bets on Trump over the weekend, which is fine.
Trump looked like he was dead and buried 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and now in the last 2 weeks, there's been a massive shift back towards him.
Yeah.
But if, I don't know, if the Americans vote for Trump, they deserve everything they get. But a lot of people are going to hate that.
Last couple of minutes. What are your big bets at the moment yourself? I mean, obviously not ones that you're building at the moment, but the ones that are in place already.
No, I mean, listen, we I haven't got my colleagues over the line on that whole SA Inc. trade. So don't think that that's a big 91 position, okay? Because it's not. We've had a long platinum position for quite a long time now, and we're still there. A lot of the industry have cut it. Seemed very sensible when the shares all fell, but now they've all recovered. So it must be tricky to know what to do if you don't have them. We still have them. As I say, we've got that long gold position still, which, again, is not shared by everybody in the industry.
So you've got gold and platinum, in other words. In other words, you are a true South African patriot.
We've got gold, platinum, we've got a lot of Naspers still because that and financial listing, I think at the margin is going to do them some good, do 10 cents some good. So that's also a reasonable slug of the portfolio. We've got a bit of everything, but the big overweights are there. The big underweights, where are big underweights? We don't have a lot of Rembrandt and stuff like that, but... So we've got quite a lot of shares. You know, we haven't got our portfolios battened down to the hatches, you know, to sort of protect money. We've got the sales up to make money at this stage. We've got SA bonds as well.
Yeah, and I noticed that yield having gone to something like 970 about 6-7 weeks ago, and now down at 910, 911, that sort of thing, the 10-year bond. Yes, bonds look very good indeed.
But everything we said about, you know, holding the fiscal line applies completely clearly to bonds as well.
I love your optimism, Chris. Thank you very much for your time. That's Chris Freund, who's a portfolio manager at 91 in Cape Town. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.